Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Back on Sports Talk, and it is indeed time to go SC Wild as we talk outdoors every other Wednesday, brought to you by the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. We will check in with Major Billy Downer here in just a quick second. Remind you, though, if you ever lose us over the airwaves, we've got all kinds of opportunities for you to listen. You can catch our stream, which is up on our website at sportstalksc.com. Subscribe, like, whatever you need to do up on our YouTube and also Facebook pages. And, of course, if you miss any of the show, would like to hear it again, like to hear Will and Carl do their thing with Will in the Thrill. Those go up in our podcast as well, available where you get your podcast. So no reason whatsoever you should ever miss Sports Talk. All right, it is an SC Wild night, and we're going to check in and visit with Major Billy Downer, who joins us now here on the program. Major, happy Wednesday, my friend. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good. Glad to be here. Sorry we missed Phil tonight, but we will make it through somehow.
That's usually what we do when Phil is not here. So how are things going with DNR right now?
Well, so we have, we're in deer season for the most part for a majority of the state. Gun season for game zones 3 and 4. Hearing about a few good bucks being taken around the state. Today, the 15th, is the first day for antlerless deer can be taken with antlerless deer tags. So today marks the day that folks can begin to take does as part of their management program. You know, for years, our biologists have tried to talk to folks about good deer management involves taking lots of does to reduce your doe population. So anyway, it's today's doe, it's first doe day, so people can start taking those does with the tags. So it opens up everything. Everybody starts being able to see more deer and take different deer today. So anyway, deer season is kind of the whole lot of it. Dove season's in right now. A few good dove hunts the last couple weekends. I've heard of some people that had some good dove hunts, who had some slow dove hunts. But anyway, that's just kind of what the season's like right now. Dove season, deer season.
For novices like myself, and I used to hunt and fish a long time ago when my grandfather was alive, and when he passed away, I just kind of lost interest in doing so. But explain the reason that DNR sets up the game zones the way they do. Number one is way in the corner of the upstate. Number two, right around the Greenville-Spartanburg area. Number three, of course, includes the Midlands. And then four is out this way, PD and Grand Strand. Why set up the different game zones?
The game zones are based on the different areas. Like game zone one is the mountain unit, very different from everywhere else in the state. You know, that's the extreme mountains. Game zone two is their upstate. Again, different, just things come in a little bit differently there as far as the season's a little different. The planting season's different. So there's always been, particularly deer season, game zones came in differently because the deer population wasn't there. We were releasing deer in the upstate through the 70s, and a lot of people have forgotten that, not that long ago. So most people that are on the radio show today have been alive since they remember deer being released in the upstate, Greenwood County, Edgefield, all that, all the way through, you know, the 70s. So that's the game zones there. Game zone 3 and 4, you know, we've typically had a pretty liberal deer season for years. It's opened up a little bit more in game zone 3. No, 4 always has had a very liberal deer season as far as when the season opened up pretty early, August 15th. So it's a little bit odd. A lot of people come to the state and are really surprised that our deer season opens August 15th. In any part of the state, they're just not used to that. But it's so hot that part of the state is just traditionally always hunted early. So that's a part of the game zone. Again, game zones are about the different species and how the breakdown is for where they are in the state and what's best for that species to kind of management. So the game zones are based on management. The main answer to that question is it's based on a management protocol for that part of the state.
Yeah,
all the way through.
Major Billy Downer joining us as part of SC Wild. We're bringing a guest in just a moment. Major Downer, just maybe you can answer this quickly. I was on Edisto Island a little bit earlier in the summer, and you talk about management. I must have seen a dozen deer running together right across the road there. I'm sure you know all about that area, and I think because it's frequented by so many tourists, and then the deer know where to go. They were just all over the road. I just wonder, how does DNR look at that area, and how does that play into what you do?
That is a difficult management, because there are places like Edisto, there are places like Kiowa Island, Fripp Island, that hunting's not allowed. And when you have areas like that, deer congregate in those areas. They don't have any predators. They learn how to live between houses, and deer management becomes very difficult. They've tried all sorts of weird things on Fripp Island. They've even done studies where they were drugging deer to keep them from beating and sterilizing them, so to speak, so they couldn't breed. It's very expensive. A lot of money on the island. There's a very expensive techniques have been tried there. But yeah, deer on islands like that, in resort areas, extremely hard to manage. It's a lot of people, a lot of houses. So people don't want hunting. We understand that. With no natural predator, deer do really well between houses eating bushes. They just do. Eating grass on the golf courses, and they just learn to live in those little small heads of woods between, you know, hole number 12 and hole number 13 or whatever. They learn how to figure out there's plenty of water. You got little ponds and all, so it's extremely hard to manage in those type resort areas, no doubt.
SC Wild here on Sports Talk. Major Billy Downer with us here this evening, and we've got a very special guest as well, as we welcome in Brady Branham to join us here this evening. Major Downer, if you don't mind, introduce Brady and the subject du jour that he's bringing aboard here on the program.
Sure. Brady is our lieutenant over our K-9 team. Brady, thanks for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me, Major.
Hi, Brady. Let's just introduce for a minute. Briefly tell our listeners about our K-9 team. We had a K-9 team back in the late 90s, and it was experimental and kind of tried it out. We've kind of reborn our K-9 team. You've been in the middle of that. We have how many dogs now, Brady?
We have 7 dogs across the state, 2 in each region, and we are working to replace 1 in Region 3. So that'll give us 8 dogs across the state, 2 in each region.
Right. And much different from canines that are with normal police-style units where you have dogs that may be bike dogs, things like that. Our dogs are all labs, and they are made for detection and tracking, correct?
Correct. And article and evidence. So anything with gunpowder residue or human odor, they're trained to detect that as well.
And what is our primary mission when we are training our dogs? Talk about the training for a minute. You've been very good at this. Talk about training for our dogs and why that's important and why our dogs are so important in the role that they play.
Right. So we use our dogs mainly as conservation canines. When I say that, we teach them to track humans much like you would teach a regular police canine to track a human. And the reason that's important for us is because they're very useful when we have people poaching or trespassing on properties where they don't have permission. They can call in one of our canine units, and we can put a dog on the ground and track a person across property lines, show where they've been because of the dog track, and ultimately find the person and catch them red-handed on property where they're not supposed to be. So they're very useful when it comes to tracking people. The evidence and article aspect of it is especially helpful because if they shoot something somewhere that they're not supposed to, or they harvest an animal illegally, we're able to go in and find shell casings where the gun was fired. We're able to find shotgun shells or waddings out of the shotgun shells to prove where people were, if they had shot or not. This is also very helpful with our hunting accident investigations when you have an injured person in a hunting situation. The dogs can come in and locate evidence that help our investigators put the puzzle pieces together as to what happened that led up to that accident occurring. And then we have wildlife detection. Much like your narcotics dogs, they work vehicles, they work buildings, they work containers, they can work open areas. Our dogs just, they don't look for dope. Our dogs look for wildlife. And every dog that we have is imprinted right now on white-tailed deer, eastern wild turkey, black bear, dove, and waterfowl. And those have proven helpful this past weekend where we had a gentleman in Region 4 harvest the doe illegally and hide it in the toolbox of his truck. K-9 unit was called, truck description was given out, and they were able to find this truck on one of our WMAs, and they ran the dog around the truck, and the dog alerted on the toolbox of the truck. Lo and behold, the doe deer was inside the toolbox of the truck. So that's kind of an open and shut case that a lot of times we wouldn't be able to make without having the K-9s on the ground and helping our guys in the field.
Yeah, I know that case was highlighted on our SC Game Wardens Facebook page. Got a lot of interest, a lot of hits on that. So
right.
That was an excellent example of what our K-9s do. Talk about turkey season we had just this past spring. I know there was a number of cases where our dogs were used to detect folks that were hunting over bait or on property they weren't supposed to be on.
That's right. So a lot of times with turkey season, you have someone that baits a particular site. And if they go in to that spot and they hunt and they don't have a bird right off the roost, they'll get up and they'll start moving throughout that property. And you may ultimately find that person 1,000 yards from the bait site. But with the use of our dogs, we're able to track those people and follow that person's movements throughout that property to show that maybe they weren't sitting right there in that bait site when we caught them, but they had been through there earlier. So that's awful helpful. We have people who will shoot too many birds, and sometimes they'll leave the birds in the woods, or they may breast the birds out and leave the carcass in the woods. And we're able to bring our dogs in and run through those woods and detect the wildlife that's been left behind or that's been hidden. A lot of times people will come out and say they haven't shot anything, and we'll take the dogs back into that baited site and find a blind or something like that. We'll work the dogs in that area, and we're able to find the shotgun shell or the wadding that proves that person hasn't been very truthful with us. And then again, turkey season always brings about trespassing the turkey hunt because that bird's usually just crossed the line. And so we'll use our dogs a lot of times to track people and catch them on other people's property where they don't have permission to be hunting. And that's a real big aspect of turkey season for our dogs, is just tracking people crossing those lines.
Absolutely. So I'm going to hit one more point. I want to get into our training aspect and the amount of hours that goes into that. Before I do that, I do want to highlight, Brady, something, one of the cases we were involved in just a few months ago that got national attention in Chesterfield County. Let's talk about tracking from our dogs from a standpoint of, we don't do, you know, bite dogs, that kind of stuff, but our dogs, as you've talked about, can track humans, do a very good job of that. Talk about what we did in Chesterfield County.
Was that with the manhunt, Major?
Yep. The manhunt, yep. Yes. It wasn't Chesterfield. Yeah, that's right.
Right. So obviously, our dogs, our primary focus is for wildlife conservation and to work for the DNR guys and girls in green. But our dogs are also very capable of doing regular police canine work, aside from the bite work part of it or the apprehension part of it. So our dogs, they're very good at tracking people. Sled was the ultimate and primary canine team on the ground during the manhunt in Chester. But we were, yes, sir, in Chester. We were called upon to clear some areas with our canines. While we were there, we were also called in to look for evidence, brass that had been fired out of some of the guns in the incidents that led up to the manhunt. So our dogs were called in. We had a dog or two there every day of that manhunt on standby, and we even were called in to clear some areas while the main sled tracking team were taking a break or checking another area out. So not only do we do the conservation canine work, We're often called in to track armed fugitives or felons that are on the run that have fled from any local sheriff's department or any other state law enforcement agencies like Highway Patrol. They'll call us often when they have someone flee on foot from a vehicle stop.
And throw guns down, things like that. And I know our dogs have been very successful in tracking and finding weapons that have been thrown away.
That's right. So the Orangeburg school shooting that occurred last month, where the teenager went into the school and shot three people and then fled on foot, they were able to apprehend that individual on the school grounds but could not find the gun that he had used in the shooting. And our canines were able to come on scene and work those woods in that area and ultimately find the handgun where he had thrown it into the woods.
Absolutely. So, Brady, let's drill for a minute. Why do we choose? You know I'm a lab lover. I know you're a lab lover. Why do we choose Labrador Retrievers for our dogs? Why is that the dog we use?
Well, a lot of it, us being a wildlife agency, it fits our image and our profile. A lot of people that we're dealing with are people that are just that they're hunting and fishing. They're not violent or have any violent tendencies towards law enforcement or anything. So we really don't see the need in our agency to have the pointy-eared dogs or the apprehension dogs. A lot of times we take our dogs into the schools and let kids love on them and play on them. Our dogs are very friendly and lovable. But at the drop of a hat, when they're given a command to work, they can change gears and cut switches on and go to work and do what we want them to do. And then at that same point, once the job is done, they can lay on the ground with the kids again and roll over and let their bellies be scratched and play and things like that. So that's why we like the sporting breed. That's why we use the labs that like we use. And that's kind of worked well for us.
Right. And I think people sometimes are surprised that we use labs for tracking when they've so often heard about bloodhounds. I wanted you to highlight, labs have a tremendous sense of smell. And they do a very good job tracking.
Absolutely. The lab's olfactory system is at the top of the line, and they're excellent at tracking people. Obviously, bloodhounds, their olfactory systems are much larger, but the labs are right up there with them, as well as German Shepherds and the Malinois and things like that. So the labs, they have tremendous tracking ability. And although we don't have that apprehension dog as we run a felon through the woods, it's imperative that we train in a manner so that we run tight security formations and we're watching our dog's behaviors and alerts as we're closing in on someone so that we can safely approach and apprehend that person.
Absolutely. So let's talk about training for a minute. How many hours of training go into creating a dog that we actually put on the ground in the field to use?
So from the time we get our dogs, all of our dogs come to us green, which means they come completely untrained, and we train them ourselves. We take our handler and a dog that is untrained, and we put them through an 8-week course, which ends up being 320 hours from start to finish. Now, once we're done with that 8 weeks, that dog is certified and ready to go into the field to work, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a seasoned dog. We continue every month. We're required to do 32 hours of training, which is 8 hours per discipline each month, and that's the bare minimum. We have to complete that, and we do that every month. Our guys continue
to remind our folks disciplines. That's tracking, detection,
evidence, and article. And, right. So our four disciplines are tracking, evidence and article searches, wildlife detection, and then we also do area searches for humans. And the difference with the area search for humans is if we have a missing child or we have an elderly person, maybe with dementia or something, that goes wandering off and missing. A lot of times before we get there, you've had 25 to 50 to 100 volunteers in the woods looking for this person, which completely does away with any kind of tracking abilities because you've got so many different tracks running through the woods. So we're able to take our dogs in. And here's another, this is another plus of having the sporting breed non-apprehension dog, is we're able to take our dogs in and turn them off the line and just send them on a search. And so it basically becomes a large article search, except they're looking for a human. And once they find this person in the woods or wherever it may be, they'll sit and bark at that person until we come. So that's their alert or their indication, is they'll bark. And once we hear that, we know that they found the person they're looking for, and we'll go into the woods then to that bark and find that person. And so at that point, we don't have to worry about them finding a person and biting them, because they're not an apprehension dog. They find the person, they'll sit and they'll bark until we come to them.
Right, right. So a lot of different avenues that our dogs are involved in. I think it would surprise folks to understand that, because we're not just tracking when it's that same dog that may have been finding a deer in the back of the truck, the next day could be tracking an elderly person who walked away and got lost, or could be looking for a small child that got lost.
Absolutely. So I think it was just 2.5 years ago where we had K-9 Cash in Orangeburg County track the 2.5-year-old about a half a mile through the woods and found him in the back of the woods. And like I said, once we found him, he was licking him in the face, so you didn't have to worry about any kind of bites or anything like that. So, again, another bonus for our lab.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Brady, when people ask, you know, hey, why would DNR continue to have a K-9 team? I know you got a good answer for that. What, in your opinion, what's the main takeaway for our K-9 team for folks to know?
So it's another, the main thing for our agency is it's another tool in the toolbox for our guys and girls in green. A lot of cases that they would not normally be able to make, or they would have to spend hours looking and trying to locate and document evidence, our canines can do in a matter of minutes. Not to mention our hunt and accident investigations. A lot of times they'll walk out of there maybe not finding some key element or key evidence, waddings or things like that, that kind of help them with their shot patterns that the canines are, again, they're able to do that in a matter of minutes. It's just another tool for our guys and girls to use to save time. Time's a huge thing for us nowadays. If we can go out there and find something in 10 or 15 minutes that would normally take a person an hour or two to find, then that's just a huge plus. And not only that, we're an assisting agency, being a state agency. So a lot of our municipalities and our sheriff's departments and other state agencies that don't have a K-9 program, they benefit as well, because they're able to call on us to come assist them with whatever they may have going on. So it definitely makes our agency relevant in the law enforcement world also.
Absolutely. Well, Brady, I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight and talking about our K-9 team. Probably get you back on another time. But guys, just wanted to highlight one of the parts of our department we haven't talked about a whole lot. Brady's done a tremendous job with our training program and getting the right handlers, the right dogs to do the program we just talked about. And so many people aren't aware that we have a K-9 team and what our K-9 team does. So I kind of wanted to highlight that tonight. Mm-hmm. Brady did an excellent job, as he always does, about talking about our K-9 team. So before we get off tonight, I just want folks to know, you know, that's just another aspect of DNR that we do to help, like you said, our guys and girls in green, to keep folks safe, to do tracking, and also to help our municipalities out. That's a big point he made there. As an assisting agency, we do a lot of that. But again, an unknown part of DNR that a lot of folks don't know we do.
Major Downer, we appreciate SC Wild and the SC DNR for jumping on board with us every other Wednesday. Really good information. Brady as well. My brother-in-law was actually a member of the Greenville County Police Department and the K-9 unit a while back. K-9s are just cool. That unit is so cool. So really good info, guys, and we appreciate the time tonight. Y'all have a great rest of your week.
Thank you all. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. All right. That's Major Billy Downer of SC DNR, and also Brady Branham joining us tonight to talk about the SC DNR K-9 unit on SC Wild. And that's going to do it, folks. We will see you back here tomorrow as we inch closer to another weekend of college football.